You are hearing voices from NPR, the best of public radio.
I'm Harry Shearer. Late in 1999, Gene Shepard died. The obituaries made reference mainly to his series of programs for PBS, Gene Shepard's America, and to his work on the movie that's now become a perennial holiday classic, A Christmas Story. Passing mention was made of the two decades of broadcasts he did, nightly broadcasts, some of them marathons, on New York's WOR-AM, a radio station with a signal that roamed the East Coast at night like a restless salesman. Radio's such an ephemeral medium. Stuff on it seems to be there forever until suddenly it's gone. Memories about Gene Shepard's remarkable body of work on WOR are beginning to fade, so that's why there's this broadcast. In the next couple of hours, you'll hear some people who talk about how Gene Shepard's radio work influenced their lives and their work. You'll hear some people talk about how Shepard approached the task of storytelling and satirizing the world he saw around him. But what drives me crazy about a lot of these programs is that the thing itself is heard only in snippets. So, most importantly, you'll hear on this broadcast great generous helpings of Gene Shepard on the radio. So you can enjoy and judge for yourself the impact of Gene Shepard, A Voice in the Night. Shepard told stories of life in the Army, someplace he knew most of us would never willingly find ourselves.
I was with a group of guys who were suddenly transferred out of the field that they had been in for a couple of years, radar. We were all veteran radar. Some of the guys had been overseas for 3 years, and other guys had been overseas for 2 years, and they had ribbons and badges, and they were highly trained in all this this highly technical equipment. When one day, one of those little mistakes that happen when people are operating mimeograph machines at Army headquarters, my little group was removed suddenly from its context, and they were sent to classification. And there were three PFCs sitting in front of us, and they were saying, well, what do you want to be in the Army now? Well, now, don't look at me and say, how could that happen? I'll tell you, it was the truth. They sent us to a place where new Army guys were being processed. And our little group had gotten detached. How it got detached is a long story and a boring one. But suddenly we found ourselves being classified as rookies. And so we're all sitting there, glaring. It's like taking a whole bunch of guys, like take, if you're your office now, you've been working, we'll say, at BBDO for 9 years. And all of a sudden you came there one morning and they had taken all the signs down. It didn't say BBDO anymore. And they're just there. You walk into your office and there were three guys sitting there at desks. And as you came in, they said, sit down, fella. I said, what do you mean, fella? I'm vice president here in charge of the pickle account. What do you mean, vice? What do you mean? Sit down, fella, sit down. All right, now you're all here. We'd like to ask you all now, what would you like to do in life? What kind of job would you like to have? And we're going to give you some forms, some questionnaires here. We're going to give you a few little tests, and we'll decide what you guys can do. Some of you might become ditch diggers. Some of you might go out and work in the pencil factory. Maybe a few of you might find yourself working down at the street department. But in any event, let's find out what you're... You'd be shocked. What? Well, here we are. There's about 38 of us. And we are sitting in this insane moment, and we couldn't believe it. We thought, it just can't happen. This is not happening at all. Guys kept looking around at each other. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And these smug PFCs who were up there and had been classifying rookies for years, you know, they sat there and they had the sharp creases in their shirts. And they were cadre, you know, and they just got the forms. All right, now, we're going to begin alphabetically. Adams, is there Adams here? Adams, Corporal Adams here? All right, we're going to start with you, Corporal Adams. You go over there and sit with PFC Anderson. Anderson will sit down there and talk to you, and then blah, 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 all the way on. And we'll decide what you're going to do in the Army. And all the while, the radio's playing. And coming out of the radio was an announcement. And it was a New York radio station. I don't know whether, you know, the average announcer who's doing a public service announcement never thinks anybody's really actually listening to this. You know, it's just the sound he's making. And here was this announcer saying, yes, friends, if you have any special training in electronics, If you have any special training, if you're an amateur radio operator, if you have any training in radio, the armed forces need you in the new secret work going forward in radar. Yes, there is a desperate need for radar technicians. Sign up right now. Radar technicians are needed right this very minute. And here we are, 38 radar technicians all sitting there, and we're in the middle of the classification center, and they're trying to decide what we're going to do. Well, Gasser, who's sitting up in the front, says, Hey, fella, listen to what the guy's saying. Hear that? Why don't I just go down and quit and go back out and re-enlist, huh? I'll re-enlist and I'll become one of these, what are they, radar guys? Gasser had at least 15 MOSs. That meant he had about what is the Army equivalent of degrees of training after his name in the field of radar. I had about 9.5. And so here's this announcer, and he is saying, yes, if you would like to enlist in that fascinating new field called radar, if you have any training in radio, please get in touch immediately. Your country needs you. The need is dire. Right now, we need And here we are. And this guy's up there deciding whether or not we're going to be latrine orderlies. There's a big school that we're opening up to teach guys how to type on the L.C. Smith typewriter. There's a whole bunch of things opening up that you never know what exciting things might be opening up for you. We've got a wire school here where they teach you how to solder wires together. Whew. And so we were, you know, and you're trapped like Kafka. We knew that we weren't going to get out. That's it. Here we were. We were here to be classified. They were going to send us to school after we'd been in the Army a minimum of 2 years apiece. And so finally, Gasser or somebody says to the guy, all right, excuse me, Corporal, what's the longest course? And the guy says, what's the longest course? What's that got to do with it? He says, well, if this insanity is going to go on, I might as well take the longest course. You got one that lasts 4 years? I can stay here in New York anyway. I don't care what it is, plumbing, I don't care. What do you want? He looked at me, he says, all right, smart guy. We're going to decide what you're ready for, what you can take. Well, all 38 of us were assigned to the code school at Fort Monmouth. Well, I have to explain that there were two types of code schools. There's what they call the high-speed operator, which is used for transatlantic high-speed operation, and there's what they call the low-grade field operator. Well, friends, the low-grade field operator is the guy you see in the shell hole with all the rocks coming down on him, you know, and the dirt and stuff is falling down on him and all the shrapnels, and he's got a little key, and he is sending in code. He's sending the SOS when the battalion is cut off and they don't want to use voice transmission. Well, that had a particular kind of connotation to us, and here we were. It wasn't that we were afraid of this. It was as though we were being taken. It's like taking a group of nuclear scientists and training them to be file clerks. Literally. Oh, are we bugged? Oh, mad. And so we sat in our little cubicles. Now, the code school at Fort Monmouth has to be seen to be believed. It's unbelievable. Now, for those of you who don't know what code is, I will blow a little code for you. A lot of chirp on that note. That is a CQ. I will send WOR for you. That's WOR. I will send my name for you. SHEP. Now, have you often wondered what they send in the newsreels? When you hear the code going, well, I'll tell you what they send. They send this. Which is news. They said news, news, news over and over again. That's what the code says. Well, there I am. I'm a code man, and I can send and receive code a minimum, at that point, of probably 45 words a minute. I was really at my apex. I had a 45-word-a-minute ARRL certificate, and at least 75% of the 38 men I was with were guys who could send and receive faster than any of the people they had at the code school who were teaching it. But the one thing we did not want to let them know was that we could do it. We did not want it. And so we went back to the barracks, and we're sitting there glumly. We're going to go to code school tomorrow, see? And so finally, I think it was Ripper, or maybe it was Goldworm. I don't remember who it was. One of them says, "Ain't gonna get no coat out of me." He had said it for all of us. Because, you know, it's funny, there's always one guy in a crowd that's the catalyst. One guy in the crowd causes the crowd to go down and burn down the city hall. Now, the rest of them may want to do it, but it takes that catalyst, that one guy that says, "Let's go down now, I'm going." Then the whole crowd goes. Now, they may want, that catalyst is important. And so whoever that guy was, Goldworm or Weber, one of them, he said, "Ain't going to get no coat out of me." Well, the next morning, after we had all tacitly agreed that we're going to be no code learned in this crowd, we arrived at the code school. Now, the code school is three stories high. It is fantastic. It covers like a full block down. You never saw anything like it. And there are thousands of guys all sitting there with earphones and each with a little cubbyhole, these cubbyhole-type desks. Some of the guys that are already up in the high-speed operation now are working with typewriters. And all the way on up, the various speed levels go until way down at the ground floor, the guys are learning the alphabet, like A, da, B, da, dit, C, da, da, D, da, dit. And way up at the top floor, the finished product was sitting there typing away, the high-speed operator. He's knocking it off at 55 words a minute. Well, here is our little band of 38 guys down on the ground floor. And they gave us our designation. We were Class D2. You see, each little detachment is given a number, like D1, D2, D3, D4, or maybe it's C1, C2, C3, C4. And as you go through the entire thing, you keep together as a unit, providing you all learn code at roughly the same speed. And as you pass each test, you move on to the next table, and the next table. And they have this gigantic thermometer that shows how all the groups are progressing. C, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the various little groups. And there was D2 right there. It had this little red dot down at the bottom of the big thermometer. And we all started the same day. And I remember the introductory remarks by the instructor. He's on the PA system, and it's all coming through in our cans. We're all sitting there looking official. "Men, you're about to learn code, CW, continuous wave transmission. This is one of the most honored methods of man in our day and time to communicate. Ships have communicated this way now since the early 1900s. You are beginning to learn some of the romance of radio communication. And now, good luck, men, and let's see which detachment gets to the top first. You will begin with the basic alphabet. And now, let's go to work." Boop, boop. Boop, 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 boop. "You have just heard the first two letters of the alphabet, A and B. We will repeat them. A, boop, boop. B, boop, 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 boop. We now move to C, boop, 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 boop. And now D, boop, boop, boop. Now see if you can identify the four letters we are about to send." Boop, 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 boop. Boop, boop. Boop, 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 boop. Boop, boop, boop. "As you identify them, write them down on the pad in front of you. You will find a pencil to your right." Boop, boop. A. Well, we sat there. I remember all of us are high-speed operators, guys who had built their own transmitters, guys who would use bugs. The whole scene, we're sitting there. That's like 15 famous surgeons all sitting down and somebody saying, "You are now going to learn how to use a Band-Aid. The Band-Aid is a basic type of bandage. The bottle at your right is called Mercurochrome. It is used..." We're sitting there, say, Well, the first day passed, and I don't think one of us wrote down one single letter. We kept writing. They would go, boop, 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 boop. I'd scratch my head. That's D. D. And all the while, the corporal, who was in charge of our section, kept walking back and forth, looking at us. He said, no. Now, listen carefully. At first, you see, he thought we were really playing the game. He'd say, now, listen carefully, fella. Now, look. Now, here, all of you fellas, at ease, all of you. Now, turn off your earphones. Now, fellas, you must listen. Don't listen for dots and dashes, fellas. Listen for dits and da's. Dit-da. Dit-da. It is not dot-dash. It is dit-da. So A goes dit-da. B goes da-dit-dit-dit. It does not go dash, dot, dot, dot. Now, I think that's maybe where the confusion is falling. Some of you guys aren't listening to it right now. Okay? All right, let's start again now. All right, all set now. We'll start at the beginning. Dit-da. And 38 guys are scratching. Some guys are writing down E. Other guys are writing down B. And he's walking around. He's going, what is it? All right, now, fellas, now wait a minute. Now, look, maybe you're nervous. You're nervous. Let's take a five-minute break. Five-minute break. I'll go out for smoke. You're nervous. Just relax. Look up at the clouds. Take it easy. Now, five-minute break. Okay, fellas, be back in 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, we're back, and it goes, boop, 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 boop. Oh, that's an A. I got it. Finally, it's coming. It's an A. Well, the next day, all the other groups that were in our same, that all started together with, about nine groups started together, all of them had a little red mark beginning to appear on the thermometer. They had risen up past the four-word per minute thing, you know, up to five words. They were already taking, and they were moving on to the next tables. Our little band of malcontents were still having trouble with boop, 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 boop. Well, by the end of the second or third day, we had painfully progressed down to roughly the letter M. We were now down about the middle of the alphabet, and the rest of the crowd that had started with us were already on the next floor. Forget it. They were gone. And our corporal was gone. Now, look, fellas. Look. You're not listening right. It's all a matter of your head. Your head. You got to think code. You can't think letters. You can't write down. You got to think code. Look, boo boo M, boo boo M, like that. You don't go da da What is it? What is it? Write the first thing that comes down in your head because you'll be right. And go boo boo M, da da A, da da A. Hear that? Da da A, dip E E, dip E. Okay. All right. Now let's start the tape. All right, Charlie, start the damn thing again. Boo 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 boo. And the heads are bent over sweating. Well, about, I'd say roughly about a week and a half later, and now already you can see the big thermometer. It shows D1, which is the detachment that was just ahead of us. D1 is now up at 15 words a minute. They were the top one. C1 was down around 10 words a minute. A2 was up to about 9.5 words a minute. Guess where D2 was? We were still at the starting line. We had not even progressed beyond the starting line. Bendy, and you never saw such acting. If you think Paul Newman is an actor, if you think Rod Steiger can act, you ought to see 38 GIs refusing to learn code. I mean, I never saw such great acting. I love Gasser, for example. Gasser has got the most complete, he was the picture of concentration. Bending, breaking his pencil. Oh, my pencil, oh, it's getting past me. And I could see poor old Weber over there sweating. I knew that Weber, let me tell you this. Do you know Don Weber had been a high-speed operator at the Presidio in San Francisco? He was famous for being able to take 45 words a minute without even so much as one hand on the typewriter, you know. He could take 60 words a minute without even, you know, messing around, changing the paper. He gets up and walks around. The code is coming in. That kind of guy. And you ought to have seen him. He was beautiful on the sea, that particular. He's going, boop, 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 boop. He kept confusing it with the letter Q. He kept saying Q, because Q goes goo, goo, ki-goo. Well, about 12 days after our little group had started, in came the major. And I'll never forget this. What a beautiful morning that was. We're all bent over our desks now, and we're still sweating over. All right, you guys, listen. What's the matter? You gotta listen right. The corporal is. You gotta listen. Is N. Is A. It's the opposite. Is A. That's N. All right, now try it again. Send him an N, will you, Charlie? Ooh, that's an N, not an A. That is, you heard me say N. What is, well, the code guy comes in there, and he, all of a sudden, all earphones went off. And we see this enraged look. He'd been an old ex-Army first sergeant who had been made a captain the minute that the bombs fell at Pearl Harbor. That old Army ex-first sergeant is now in charge of the code school. And he has run into his first problem. And he is standing up there wearing his hat sideways. He's got that little silver leaf hanging down over one ear, you know. He's that kind of officer with the collars are always kind of rolled up, you know. And he's got a shirt that's a little bit sweaty. And he hollers, I'm Major Abramowitz. And I can teach code to a dog. I can teach it to a dog. Now, you guys that are goofing off, you're going to get in trouble with me, and nobody is ever going to say that Major Abramowitz never taught no detachment how to take code. You hear that? You hear that? All right, start them code machines. Boo-boo. 38 guys write down N. D. All right, you guys, you're not going to get smart with me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to transfer every last one of you guys to radar. And you know how hard that is. Boy, are you guys going to sweat when you get in them radar classes. Try goofing off in that one. I can teach code to a dog.
This program occurred because of the affection for and gratitude to Gene Shepherd felt by myself and my co-producer, Art Silverman. Thanks also to Manoli Wetherill, Larry Josephs, and Ron Delacreza, WGBH Boston, WPLN Nashville, WBEZ Chicago, Max Schmidt, WBAI-FM New York, Herb Squire, WQXR New York, Randall Shepherd, Irwin Zwilling, WOR New York, John Gambling III, Laney Anderson, Eugene Bergman, KCRW, and Sarah Spitz. Thanks for listening, and Excelsior.
From NPR, National Public Radio, this is HearingVoices.com.